Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to the other side of the camera, and welcome in yet again to God's house on Sunday morning at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, A Sigh of Relief. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 40. And a woman was fixing breakfast, smiling, as her family came down and ate it. And they didn't say much to her. They came home that afternoon. And as she was making supper, they still didn't talk much to her. And she became sad. And she began to slam pots and pans down. And she served them in a gruff way. And she just was generally not nice to her family. And finally, the husband spoke up. And he said, "Dear, what's wrong?" She goes, "I cannot believe you all forgot my birthday." And the whole family was in shock. And she started to tell them, I'm 55 years old today. I've done all these things for this family, and every year you forget my birthday. You forgot my 40, my 50. I figured you'd do something on my 55. And the husband was just beside himself, and she goes, "I'm going to tell you something right now. Tomorrow morning when I get up and walk out in that driveway, there better be something gleaming, shiny, and goes from 0 to 200 miles an hour with a big red bow on it in that driveway, or else." The husband understood. The next morning she woke up, put on a robe, walked out into the driveway, and there sat, gleaming, shiny, chromed up, a brand new scale. The husband's obituary will be in this week's paper. Luke chapter 2. In the 25th verse. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that we are here today. We thank you that these words that will come forward are from you for us to learn and grow and know what Jesus has for us more and more every day. They are to strengthen us, Father, and remind us of what Jesus is and what he has done and continues to do. Open our ears, Father, and let our hearts be filled with this message. Let us be thankful that we're here today and pray for those that are not. May you guide us through this service in the name of Jesus. And all of his children said, Amen. What is a sigh of relief. Now you might say, Pastor Paul, you're so intelligent, teach us. Well, I'm glad you said that, even though nobody did. What is a sigh of relief? That is a sigh of relief. I don't think I'm going to get up from here for the rest of the service. I'm just going to sit here and let you look at me. Yeah, I know better than that. There was a man who had a tremendous amount of money, and he loved paintings and artwork, and he loved what was spoke to him through these paintings, through this artwork. Barit Kiyos, in his book A Wardrobe for the King, writes about this man. He wanted to find the ultimate painting that showed peace. He wanted this, and he had the money to do it. So he announced a contest to all the great artists in the world to paint him a painting of peace. And the one that would be judged by a great amount of judges would be the winner. And they would win, and they would be revealed, and they would be held in high esteem. My wife and I have often, when we get time, sit down and watch that man, Bob Ross, baby. Now we're just going to just put a little thing right here. There's never anything wrong. And we're just going to put a little happy mistake here. We've got a little treat. You've all seen it. I watch that man and I lose my mind and I become peaceful. And I turn to my wife and I say, I could paint like that. And my wife, in 20 some years of marriage, has developed a face. And her face is this. Followed by this statement, yes, dear. Many years ago, Wendy and I decided we wanted a Bob Ross painting to hang in the house. And we went after one. Now, we have very little money, but we figured they got to exist. What we found out was his paintings of peace and serenity were gifted to all the different public television stations, and they rarely come up for sale. But one did. Well, about 10 years ago, I found out one came up for sale. And it was the one that I wanted. And now, mind you, the painting he painted this time was about this big. All right? And it was a mountain fall with the snow on the mountain and the giggling brook and a big old pine tree and all that background. And right down there on the side of the bank of the stream next to the creek, he put a cabin in with a little wisp of smoke coming up out of it. And I could just hear him, now we'll just put a cabin here. We'll be nice and soft. And I said, that's it. Give me a check. We're going after it. We estimated that we had $500 to spend on a painting. And I was going to have a Bob Ross painting in my house. Yes, sir. And I got to the auction and I came home without it. Because if I spent $10,000 on a painting, you'd read my obituary in the paper of that week. But they were so peaceful, and that's what this man was looking for. And finally, the day arrived, and there were paintings all around the great room at his mansion. And one by one, the shroud was pulled away from each painting, and the crowd oohed and aahed and carried on, and the judges judged, and they went from one peaceful scene to the other. And they kept ranking them up and up. And finally, two pictures remained with covers on them. They yanked the first cover away. And hush fell on the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of an evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Certainly this one was the winner. And the crowd carried on and became quiet. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself. And the crowd gasped and realized this was the painting that showed peace. It showed a tumultuous waterfall cascading over a rocky precipice. The crowd could feel its cold, penetrating spray. Storm gray clouds threatened to explode all around with lightning. Wind and rain was seen in the picture in the way everything was bowing. In the midst of the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls, and one of its branches reached out in front of those torrential waters as it foolishly sought to experience the power of this waterfall. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch, content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings. She rested on her eggs, eyes closed, her wings ready to cover her little ones. She truly manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. A sigh of relief is peace. It's knowing that everything is going to be all right, regardless of what is going on in the world. You know, we talk about all this stuff, and nothing manifested itself greater than last Sunday. Last Sunday, we heard the prayer, "Hey, pray, Todd, he's going down to Myrtle Beach," and we all joked, "Ah, he gets to go take a class on the beach, he's a beach bum, ah, he's going to school." But then the phone call comes in that we prayed for his safe travels, that Todd was in an accident 1 hour just shy of where he went to school. Yet he was not hurt. Maybe his pride, but he was not hurt. Sigh of relief. Things that go on in this world. Each and every one of you can think about this moment in time. Alan fell down a bunch of stairs because he wouldn't listen to Rachel. Well, that's the story I'm going with. He fell down a bunch of stairs. And yet, he's chugging right along. Zoe passed the test. The doctor gives back good results for a cancer. We get to the other side of a sickness. A sigh of relief is knowing that everything is going to be all right, regardless of what is going on in the world. But how in the world can you define it? A sigh of relief can be defined in the following way. Finding out that the mess you're in is fully covered under your insurance policy. Discovering something. This is my statement. This is a sigh of relief every time I'm out of sight of Wendy at an auction or at an antique store, or when I see something on Facebook that I'm going to go buy out of marketplace and not tell her. Discovering something you bought costing more than you paid for it. That's a sigh of relief. I got it at a good deal. Woohoo! Finding something you thought you'd lost before you go out and buy a new one. It sometimes still doesn't stop me, because sometimes I still think I need two of them, right, men? Realizing, it's my favorite one, because this actually did happen to someone I know. Realizing after you've locked the keys in the car, before I go further on this, how many people panic when you lock them keys in the car? Say amen.
Amen.
Boy, that was not very good. Say amen.
Amen.
You know what it's like. You shut that door and you're like, realizing that you've locked your keys in the car, but you forgot to close the window. Or a sigh of relief comes in this form. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He's breathing hard. He's been waiting. The Bible goes on to record that he was moved by the Spirit. He went to the temple courts. He was moved by the Spirit. He didn't just do it on his own. Suddenly it came upon him. Go to the temple courts. Go there. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do what the law had commanded, to follow the Jewish law, they were doing what they were supposed to do, still not realizing this child and what he is going to be what he becomes. He is their child. Yes, he is special to them, but this is still the King of Israel born in a trough in a manger. And yet they take him by Jewish custom. And at that moment, Simeon is brought in there and the connection is made. He feels it, takes the child in his arms and praises God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, follow this one, you now dismiss your servant in peace." He knows. He knows that the consolation of Israel is there. He knows that that which will give peace to all is there in his arms in the form of Jesus Christ. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Back then, does anybody know who the Gentiles were? They still exist today. Do you know who the Gentiles are today? Look to your left. Look to your right. And then say, "Oh, Gentile men." Hello, Gentiles. Jesus Christ, by prophecy, came to save everyone once and for all with what was yet to come. And Simeon was allowed to know it. What that must have meant to him to be just able to go, "Thank you." But it's not done. While all this is going on, the prophetess Anna sees it and realizes it. And this is a woman who, after being married and realizing that her lot in life was to answer and speak for the Lord, went to the temple all of her life, every day, fasting and praying and waiting. The Bible records, it says, she never left the temple but worshiped day or night. She was very old. And she saw the child and gave thanks and told all the people who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Some people would say that not only was it a sigh of relief, but they had the peace of heart knowing that God was there and in control and knowing that salvation was coming. They also were rewarded because they had hope. G.K. Chesterton, in his book, A Sign of the Times, wrote these words: "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength." Everything was hopeless. By now, the temple had been taken, I don't know how many times, 2 times. They had been run roughshod over countless times by the Midianites, the Amalekites, the Abazurites. I don't know what ites they got a hold of, but they got run around and they got smashed down. Israel, the people Israel, were constantly under threat of being broken. And the prophets had all said early on, and just in case you've forgotten, from about here back, this is all about the coming of Jesus. This is all the prelude. This is all the buildup. This is all God showing who he was and teaching about covenants here in the prelude. And all the prophets said, he's coming, and now he has shown up. And hopelessness now turns to peace, now turns to relief, now turns to the reward of belief, which is what they had. Simeon and Anna had hope because of faith, and because of faith, they believed. You know what belief is, right? Belief is when you walk out where you're parked where you're not supposed to. Belief is that the paper underneath your windshield wiper is not a ticket. That's belief. And when it turns out to be a circular for free pizza, then you have a sigh of relief. I'm hungry. Jonathan Whitfield says the content of belief is important. Jonathan Whitfield was teaching and preaching to coal miners in England. He asked one of the men, he said, "What do you believe?" The man said, "Well, I believe the same as the church." "Well, what does the church believe?" he asked. "Well, the church believes the same as me," the coal miner said. Seeing he was getting nowhere, Whitfield said, "And what is it that you both believe?" And the coal miner scratched his chin for a moment and said, "Well, I suppose we both believe the same thing." Make sure your belief is founded and you understand what it is. Augustine said, "Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that thou mayest believe, but believe that thou mayest understand." That is hope, faith, belief. It gives you a sigh of relief. And that's what it all comes down to, isn't it? And truly, we're Christians. We don't believe because we haven't seen. Has anybody in this room seen God? Remember where you're at. We don't believe because we truly don't know. You don't truly know because you haven't been there yet. And guess what? There are very few people walking this earth that have gone over to heaven and came back and said, "Hey, I was there. It's real. Everything's good." We don't feel it. And yet, the paradox of a professing Christian. I mean, really, let me be very clear. Paul Leatherman believes beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a heaven, that there is a place called hell, that there is good and evil, that there is day and night, that there is a Lord that spoke into existence this mud ball that we live on. There is a Lord that spoke into existence all the heavens, and we can't count them. We will never understand it all. But there is a Lord that formed us up from dust. There is a Lord that gave us everything we need, food, clothes, gave us a place to live, gave us dominion over the animals, over everything in the sea, under the sea, and on the land. There is a Lord that one day looked down and said, "Hey, I'm going to send my son down." There is a Lord that sent him down, and I do believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that he came down and was born of the Virgin Mary, our Jesus Christ. I believe that he walked, that he performed miracles that we only read about. I believe that he did everything in his power to show everyone the way that how you get to heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ was unjustly persecuted for his sins. I believe that he died upon that cross. I believe that he was placed in a grave and rose again. And I firmly believe that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do you understand me? Good. That, brothers and sisters, is a sigh of relief. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have given us everything through one simple act. Prayer to you that expresses our utmost hope, joy, faith, and belief. No, we haven't seen heaven. No, we haven't seen you. We haven't seen Jesus, but we've seen the effects. We see the flowers in the spring and the snow in the winter. We see the love of a baby. We feel when prayers are answered. We know, Father, that at our most tumultuous moment, while we are in that nest in front of that waterfall, Jesus, you cover us with love and teach us serenity and peace each and every day
You give us a moment through prayer to have that sigh of relief. Like Simeon and Anna received, Father, so we do for our belief in you. And thankful we are that we have Jesus Christ, your Son, as our Lord and Savior. Bless all who profess his name and profess his belief and profess his existence. Regardless of what this world says, we know it to be true. Thank you, Father, for this day. Bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we come forward to sing the last hymn, I invite you that if you need it, the prayer bench is open. If you're on the other side of that camera, you know the drill. Find me or find someone that knows Jesus and come to know him fully. May God bless each and every one of you.